This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Thanks for listening to WSOY on NowDecatur.com. This stream is presented by Hickory Point Bank, Invested. Our investment in Decatur is an investment in everyone who calls Decatur home.
8 to 4:30 on the 25th and 26th, and 8 to 3 on the 27th at the Andreas Ag Center. Hanging baskets, vegetables, flowers, and houseplants will be for sale for cash or check only. The Ag Center is at 3080 South Business Route 51. They recommend using Google Maps to locate it. The United Way Food Truck Frenzy is Saturday at Fairview Park from 11 to 2 or until the trucks sell out. Allen's Grub Truck, Bobby Lane's BBQ, Diggity Dogs, Highway Heartburn, Kona Ice, The Lemonade Factory, The Music Stop, and Taqueria La Perlita will be on hand. Find more info at NowDecatur.com. And, of course, for more stories, podcasts, and videos, go to NowDecatur.com.
Israel's War Cabinet is about to meet. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News, discussing how to respond to Iran's attack.
Israeli media says the cabinet wants to see a response, but they disagree on the timing and scope.
Fox's Trey Yingston, Tel Aviv. Almost all the hundreds of drones and missiles were shot down by Israel or the U.S. and our allies. Some got through and damaged an Israeli base. A girl was wounded.
The majority of them taken down outside of Israeli airspace. And reports do indicate that were confirmed by Fox News, around 50% of the ballistic missiles actually failed upon launch. It was a response to an Israeli strike in Damascus, Syria, that killed a top Iranian general. Mohammad Sakhadi was responsible for the missile and component shipments to Syria and ultimately into southern Lebanon to be used against Israel in a future war.
At an emergency UN meeting, Deputy U.S. Ambassador Robert Wood said,
"The Security Council must unequivocally condemn Iran's aggressive actions."
President Biden talked to Israel's prime minister, urging restraint to avoid a wider conflict, and the U.S. will not participate in any Israeli response. A police officer and a sheriff's deputy shot dead last night in New York. Syracuse Police Chief Joe Cecil says it happened after the driver of a suspicious car refused to stop.
Officers lost sight of the vehicle, but were able to get the license plate, so they were able to track it to an address in Liverpool.
That's where the gunman opened fire. He was also shot and killed. Former President Trump's due in court this morning in New York City for jury selection for his first criminal trial.
Potential jurors will be asked 42 total questions, including which cable, print, and social media platforms they get their news from. They will also be asked if they have ever attended a Trump campaign event, if they follow him on social media, and if they have ever attended anti-Trump rallies.
Fox's Brooks Singman, the former president, is charged with falsifying business records over 2016 payments to keep an alleged affair quiet on Truth Social. He posted this morning, "It's a witch hunt and election interference ahead of his Biden rematch." America's listening to Fox News.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Iran's attack in Israel over the weekend has Congress again considering a bill that's been stalled.
The foreign aid package hasn't budged from the Senate since they passed it in February. It's stuck in the House, where some hardline conservatives say they don't want to give more aid to Ukraine, but they do want to get help to Israel. However, Speaker Mike Johnson told Fox,
"We're going to try again this week, and the details of that package are being put together right now."
While Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer told reporters,
"Hopefully we can work that out and get this done next week. It's vital for the future of Ukraine, for Israel, and the West."
Some Democrats in the Senate have said they won't back any package that doesn't include aid to Ukraine. In Washington, Jill Nato, Fox News.
Also this week, the House plans to send articles of impeachment against the head of Homeland Security to the Senate, accusing Alejandro Mayorkas of ignoring laws at the border, resulting in record illegal immigration. But Senate Democrats may not even hold a trial, calling it a sham with no evidence. They say Mayorkas committed any crimes. On Wall Street, stock futures are rising, coming off last week's selling. Scottie Scheffler won golf's Masters for the second time in 3 years.
It's hard to put into words how special this is.
The 27-year-old Scheffler is the hottest golfer on the planet with 3 victories in the past 5 weeks. Scheffler collected his second green jacket with a 4-stroke victory over Ludvig Åberg. Scheffler finished at 11 under par after posting a 4 under 68 in the final round. Scheffler is the 18th golfer to win multiple Masters titles. He's also the 4th youngest 2-time Masters champ. Bob Bortali, Fox News.
The NBA regular season is over. It ended with Oklahoma City blowing out Dallas by 49 points to secure the top seed in the Western Conference playoffs. New York edged Chicago to get the number 2 seed in the East. The playoffs start tomorrow with the play-in game in the Western Conference, play-in games, and then the play-in games Wednesday in the East. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Join us on May 4th from 12 till 5 p.m. at the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater for an exciting Decatur Park District Arts Jamboree. Unleash your creative side as you paint pots, create art, make friendship bracelets, shop the plant sale, preview arts programs, and more. Be sure to mark your calendars and gather your friends and family for a day full of artistic enjoyment at the Arts Jamboree. For more information, visit DecaturParks.org or visit our Facebook page.
Good morning. Here's a look at your News Channel 20 Storm Team forecast today. Sunny with a high near 82. Tonight, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, increasing clouds and a low of 61. For Tuesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, high near 80. And Wednesday, scattered showers and thunderstorms, mostly sunny and a high near 72. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 57 degrees. Your WSOI time is 6:06.
Good morning and welcome to the Monday edition of Buyers in Company. We've got a lot to get to here today. The mayor of Decatur, Julie Moore Wolf, will be with us. We'll check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. Give Cardinals tickets away. All kinds of stuff. Company starts now.
Buyers in Company. WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
As the sun starts to come up in the east here in downtown Decatur, we are happy to have you with us. Happy to be here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everyone had a great weekend.
Yeah,
I mean, like a really great weekend.
Felt like spring, didn't it?
It was awfully nice yesterday and Saturday, and looks like awfully nice today. And we'll see what the weeks ahead show. It looks like maybe a little downturn in temperature and all of that, but that's okay. It feels like we're exactly halfway through April. Long way to go.
I can successfully report that I mulched up some leaves without starting a fire.
Well, that was good.
Yep.
That was a bigger, better outcome than
measure of success.
Last year.
Improvement.
Didn't burn down your neighbor's yard.
That's
it's always
right.
Happy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have a lot to get to here today. I want to start with the Masters. I watched all of the final round yesterday, and it doesn't come on until a little later in the afternoon. On Sundays, not as late as it used to. They used to not come on TV until the final pairing took to the back nine.
Okay.
Meaning all the excitement was down the run of the back
right.
nine.
Sure.
That was kind of deciding for us, right?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. And now they show quite a bit more than that, and you get a chance to see the full day. I was in a win situation, meaning the kid from Sweden, Colin Morikawa, Max Homa, Scottie Scheffler, 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm happy with any one of those that win. Turned out, it was literally Scottie Scheffler who ran away with it, you know, really late, in the day. It was, looks like a train wreck there for a while. You know, they're all tied or within one stroke, and then sort of the things that happen, at Augusta happen, and people double bogey and all of a sudden it's all over the place. Scottie Scheffler, all the way in. I felt so bad. For Colin, who was with Scottie Scheffler in the last group, could not win the tournament, but could end up dropping down quite a bit. Like when you're on 18 and you can't win, the thing you want to do is get out of the way of the guy that's winning, meaning it's his moment.
Sure.
That walk up the fairway with all the applause, and he's trying desperately not to fall down past the people that are in, you know, fourth place, and yet he's taking forever to do that and trying to get out of the way of Scottie Scheffler. It's like a no-win situation.
Yeah, it probably doesn't feel very good, and you probably feel super awkward.
Scampering all over the place, but there's a lot of money on the
you
line.
You still got to focus and get the job done.
If he finally gets his putt in after being all over 18, you know, he will end up tied for third place rather than being in fourth place, which would cost him a lot of money and, you know, whatever. But you're trying to get out of the way of the guy who's waiting for his green jacket. It's an awkward situation, unlike any other in sports.
Yeah, probably so.
I can't think of any.
Because there's still work for him to do.
Individually.
I mean, yeah.
You know, you're playing tennis, you win, you lose.
Right. Yeah, he's still got to finish to get, because getting somewhere else does matter, yeah.
Right. I mean, if he makes his bogey putt, then, you know, he ends up tied for third rather than making a double bogey and dropping down into fourth. And the money is all decided about where you end up, you know, so tied for third, more money than fourth. And it's also, you know, a T3, you know, in a major and all of that. But at the same time, the guy who's there, you know, dominantly winning the tournament is standing there leaning on his putter, waiting for you to get out of the way because he's got a putt like that long to, you know, win by several strokes. And the kid from Sweden, 23 years old, they're a little older now because of COVID, meaning that, you know, the couple of years that were so screwed up in sports, you know, you'll see rookies and people coming out of college a little bit older today.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly why, right?
Yeah, I mean, in the United States, there are literal rules for that.
Right, but I'm assuming elsewhere.
Probably so.
Now, he played in the Ryder Cup, but this was his very first major, and the first major being at Augusta for the Masters. Tall kid, I don't even know if you listened to him, whether or not he would sound like he's from, you know, he played golf in Texas in college.
Like happens so frequently with international players.
Sure. Yeah. Ludwig Ober, which doesn't look like Ober. It's an A with that little weird little O at the top of the A. Just played like he had no pressure at all, grinned and smiled the entire day, and was unafraid because of youth, talent, whatever, ends up being in second place alone at the Masters in his very first major.
Pretty impressive.
When you watch the experienced guys crack under the pressure and the 23-year-old kid who doesn't know enough, I guess, to know enough to be scared.
Maybe it's always like that at majors.
No, it's not. No, it is not.
For him so far, it is.
maybe. Maybe one of the most interesting stories of the weekend was Bryson DeChambeau, who did not end up, having a great weekend. He was playing literally 3D printed clubs that were just approved by the PGA, like literally on Monday of Masters Week.
Nice.
I don't know what that means. When you say that, though, I mean, not when you say nice, but when like 3D printed clubs.
Sure. I mean, there's different types of 3D printing you can do, but this basically means that they were likely made specifically for him and not forged from metal or carved from wood, but made additively where it sat there and built them piece by piece, strand by strand.
But they are made of metal. I mean, so how do they do that?
Oh, they 3D printed metal?
Yeah, of course.
Or maybe the shaft or whatever is 3D, is some sort of plastic, or the handle, the grip or whatever. I'd have to look at it.
Because I thought about it, you know, when I heard that they had just been approved, and then I saw that literally they're called irons because they used to be, you know, I mean, literally made, right. You know, of metal. There are composite, but it didn't look like that to me just watching him play. I mean, it looked like, but they could have been, I guess, some sort of composite material, right?
Yeah. More than likely not. More than likely so, I mean. And sometimes you can, instead of things being solid, you could build like a scaffolding underneath to get more, you know, club speed or whatever. Sounds pretty cool. I'm going to look it up right now.
It's a very small company, or at least I've never heard of it, that makes golf clubs. It used to be sponsored by Cobra, and they're one of a kind. They got like a different bulge on the face, and I don't know. Anyway, you know, the club thing is a tricky thing because people are almost superstitious about this kind of thing. You don't want to like come in trying anything new, like in the middle of trying to win a very major, large tournament. Like, you just don't want to switch it up.
Right. You want to just come in and know what the score is.
Yeah.
No other variables. The variables need to be left to the course and not anything you're doing.
Yeah. And so I don't know if because when he went to live, if some of these sponsorships, you know, went away or whatever. But he literally decided he was going to do this and try something off the charts of what would normally be done.
It looks pretty cool. They look cool. I'm trying to confirm what materials they are.
The face is got to be metal of the club. I mean, it has to be.
Yeah, it looks like it. It might not be. There's a photo that I saw.
No, but I mean, you couldn't, that is required. I mean, the face of the club, the shaft could be completely different, but the actual face of the club, you would not be able to play anything but that. I mean, there was years where there were lawsuits about ping because of square grooves and stuff, but the metal thing, the head of the irons has to be metal.
Yeah, it says that they're at least, I did confirm they're two piece. So there is something affixed to, it's not one solid piece. So that probably implies that it's metal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it would have to be. The shaft can be, there are composite shafts. I mean, whether you're talking about drivers or irons or whatever, but the head itself, I just never heard of 3D printing clubs. Thought it was interesting.
Me neither.
All right. So anyway, it was a good Masters. It ended up being a beautiful Sunday after three very challenging days with winds that were unbelievable. You look at a course like that and you look at how challenging it is to begin with, and you look at the weather conditions that were thrown on top of it, and you look at, you know, how it ends up, and you look at the folks who, in, you know, who are really good golfers that end up having unbelievable, you know, John Rahm was 9 over par for the tournament. That was last year's winner. So the year before, Scottie Scheffler won. So, last year that meant Scottie Scheffler put the green jacket on John Rahm, which means this year John Rahm put the green jacket on Scottie Scheffler. And it just shows you how the most unbelievable talented athletes, you can't think of any other sport. I mean, you could stink it up, I guess, in just about anything and lose a game, but how it just, you go from being like, I conquered this thing to like, I'm in 45th place, 9 over par in 1 year.
I'd have already been back home, but I got to stick around and give this guy a jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it's also that's the very singular thing too. Last year's winner of the NBA championship doesn't have to be there this year to present the new winner with a trophy.
Nope.
Brooks Koepka was 9 over par, right? You know, there were some really good golfers that were like brought to their knees. Tiger Woods, 16 over par. His final round plus 5, just he got through all 4 rounds, which was, you know, the thing. People didn't know with the, you know, the bad health and the body and everything else. He did get through it. Justin Thomas. I mean, it was just like over and over and over, all these big, big, big names that were brought to these. Phil Mickelson, you know, who ended up second last year, 8 over par. And if you know you're getting beat by Jose Maria Althabel, who's like 58 years old, you know, you're not doing well over the weekend. Gorgeous. And there was a moment for Vern Lundquist, which was really cool. You know, he has always been for like 30 years on the 16th tee, which is that unbelievable par 3, beautiful. And he's had the call there at the 16th. And so when Scottie Scheffler and Colin Morikawa came through the 16th, that was it. That they came through his hole and he was done. And it was a very nice moment on air. And he was very good. It was just sort of like, I don't know. I felt kind of a little emotional about it.
Oh, that's pretty.
His voice is just so cool. And for to do it one last time. And when they turned it over him for that one last time, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I've got to tell you, I found something a little more confusing about Bryson's clubs.
Okay.
According to Golf Digest, it says the irons all use the same single length shafts currently made by LA Golf. So the shafts are the ones he's always used. The club heads are forged by this company.
Okay.
So I'm trying to figure out what material.
How they 3D. Well, it's got, I mean, it has to be a metal.
I don't know.
I mean, it has to be.
Yeah.
By PGA rules. I mean, it has to be.
Yeah. And there were some moments where the grooves were nonconformist because what they do is they scan them to make sure they're in compliance and they had to retool them. But I have yet to figure out how they're made. It's pretty neat.
I thought you would understand more because when I heard 3D printing, I thought, okay, well, are they doing some kind of composite shaft? But no, that seems to be the same.
Yeah.
But what they're doing is the head of the club.
Mm-hmm. And unless what? Well, no, because they could make the molds out of 3D print and then go cast them in iron. But I don't know what the difference would be. In that scenario, I would.
Well, maybe they 3D print to his sort of like very unique swing or whatever, or how he makes
and then
impact with the ball and then take the 3D print and then forge and make the metal.
That probably.
All I know is they were just approved on Monday, literally the week of the Masters.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. It's probably so. The prototyping and the mold making is probably the 3D printing.
And then they go to do the regular. And
cast them in a fort.
Yeah, I would think so. All right. So do we have Kevin ready to go?
We do.
Well,
there
it took
he is.
Like 22 minutes.
Yeah, he's here. Got it through.
Retired Florida man's traveling the world. He was in Augusta last week when we talked to him. Now he's holed up in Rome, Italy. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. Sorry for the technical confusions. It's the phone systems here. I found some lady at the help desk to figure it out, but last night I could just dial regularly. Today I got to dial 001 in the area code and phone numbers. So go figure.
All right. Well, good news.
Rome is
will only cost you about $19.99 a minute then, probably.
Yep, I don't know how that works anymore. It's supposed to be $10 a day, but I don't know. It's about $125 here almost, and I know that everybody's just getting up there, but I've already had my spaghetti and fettuccine lunch, and I'm good for a nap.
All right. Well, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon then. How's the weather?
Yeah. It's been beautiful. Yesterday, I ventured out because our session didn't start until yesterday afternoon. So yesterday morning, I said, well, I'm going to just go walk around. And I decided to walk 3 miles to the Vatican. And I get in the Vatican, and all these people are there. And I ask someone, what's going on at 11:30 in the morning? He goes, oh, the Pope will give his talk at 12 o'clock. So I walked right into an audience with the Pope in the Vatican Square, and it was really wonderful.
All right. Now, you've been to the Vatican before, right?
I have.
Yeah. It's an amazing place. You know, they have their own radio station, it's considered their own basically country. You can, you know, mail something from the Vatican to yourself at home, and it comes literally not from Italy, but from the Vatican. It's pretty amazing. How close did you get to the Pope?
Oh, he's up in his window. Oh. I got close to the big screen.
Okay.
But I got a really cool video of him up in the right corner giving his presentation. It's like a homily from his window to all the people. But he did it in Italian, so I didn't have a clue what he was saying. And but then they have these big screens to where you can see close-ups of them. Just like it was very similar to when we got to see him in Washington, D.C. on the west lawn of the Capitol. This little bitty figure up there, but then the big screen lets you see him up close and personal. I got to tell you, it was a very emotional experience. And then to see all the people singing hallelujah, all kinds of beautiful music after he spoke, how he moves the general population is quite remarkable. I know he talked about Israel, but I couldn't tell what he was saying.
All right. It's the smallest country in the world, population 764, which is in and of its
state, they call it.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So what are you doing in Rome?
Well, I left Georgia and left Atlanta and flew to Rome to attend the Catholic Health Association's Ecclesiastical and Spiritual Renewal Program. And it's a bunch of national healthcare leaders that are here from the United States. It's all quite right. An event.
And what is it that you're doing while you're there exactly?
Well, as far as the conference is concerned, I'm here with probably, I would say, 100 other healthcare leaders from around the country, big Catholic hospital systems, bigger than HSHS, by in some cases large amounts. So, you know, we're talking like Ascension, and they're just a covenant, a lot of big healthcare organizations that are Catholic. And our purpose here is to get a deeper understanding of our personal call to serve the healthcare ministry, is what we call them in Catholic hospitals, their ministries. And explore the relationship between, you know, our personal spiritual, our organizational spiritual, and the capacity to lead healthcare these days. It's pretty complicated. It's gotten more complicated.
All right. Well, you have any downtime like you had yesterday? What are you planning on doing while you're there outside of the work responsibilities?
Yeah. Matter of fact, right now I'm missing out on the ambassador of the Holy See from the United States. So because it's a country, they have their own ambassadors. So our United States ambassador is speaking to the conference now. I'd rather talk to you. And when this is done, we got the whole afternoon off to go explore Rome. And then we meet at 5 o'clock to go over to a private tour of the Sistine Chapel and the museum. And then we have dinner at the Vatican tonight.
That's amazing. So the Sistine Chapel, you've been there before. Were you impressed or not impressed?
Both. I mean, I was overwhelmed with the history, but underwhelmed with the size. I expected it. I watched the Michelangelo movie, you know, where he painted it, and seemed a lot bigger to me. But it's not all that big. Now, St. Peter's pretty impressive, but Sistine Chapel is a chapel. Chapels are small churches.
Yeah, and the guy in the microphone shushing everybody the whole time you're in there is a little annoying as well. Hey, look up. Have you been in the church, or you're going back today? Look at there's the Pope. Is it Ignatius that's there? Like his body never decomposed? He's like in a glass casket.
Ignatius?
Yeah, I mean literally in the church.
I'll have to check that out. I didn't know that. I'm a big Ignatius guy because of the Jesuit retreats in St. Louis that I've been attending for many years. So St. Ignatius is kind of a role model for me.
Well, you'll be able to see him.
St. Francis.
Well, you can see him in person, like he just died yesterday.
No, that's a new one. I've been there a couple of times, and I have not known about that. I'm going to ask when I get there.
Okay.
I want to see St. Ignatius close and personal.
All right. So how long are you going to be there?
All week. I come back Saturday.
Ah, good for
Tomorrow
you.
Tomorrow we go to Assisi, and we're going. I've done this before too, but we're going to do the walk of St. Francis, and there they have his actual robe. You know how these Franciscans wear robes.
Yep.
With the big hoods and all that. Well, St. Francis's robe was made out of sackcloth, and they have the original one. It's pretty worn, but it's encased, and it's quite amazing when you see it, how far back it goes. But those are two amazing men, Ignatius and St. Francis. The Jesuits are the teaching order of the Catholic Church, and the Franciscans or the poverty order of the Catholic Church, serving both missions. And the hospital sisters are the healthcare order of one of the healthcare orders of the Catholic Church. And it's quite inspiring to see the commitment that all these people that gave their lives to the church were willing. They're so unselfish. Unlike me, who is a lay person who's not near as virtuous.
Well, Assisi is beautiful as well, up on that mountain. It is unbelievable. And when you will you visit, you know, the lower levels there? Where I mean, that's one of the heaviest places I think I've ever been in my life.
Yeah, St. Francis went down outside Assisi. It's up high because there's a big fort to protect the town, and so they could see when the enemies were coming. But when you go down low, that's where they casted off all the leopards. And all the leopards who lived down in the leopard colonies below Assisi. And St. Francis, who was a son of a wealthy merchant, gave all that up and went down and ministered to the lepers. He walked right in there and ministered to them.
Yeah, but
and that's why the Franciscans are so committed to healthcare.
Yeah, I was talking about though the like where his tomb is, you know, there in the church where you go down a few levels, where it's
in the church, yeah.
Yeah, that's a place where you walk in and you can just sort of feel history.
Right, and that's where his robes are.
Yeah,
there's all kinds of artifacts down there that are jaw dropping, and so we'll be doing that tomorrow. And then back to the conference, the presentations so far this morning were just wonderful, just overwhelmingly full of information. I couldn't write fast enough. Then you get done, you get halfway through your writing saying, maybe I ought to just listen and not write. And you get conflicted because there's just so much good stuff to learn. I think it's part of my next chapter in life or I've got more time to think about this. I've been doing volunteer healthcare leadership for 30 years in Decatur and Springfield. And now I've been taken to a much higher level of understanding of why people give up their lives to do this.
Unbelievable. Well, listen, have fun. I know it's serious work, but enjoy the sightseeing. It's unbelievable. If you've ever had a chance to literally go to Italy and see what there is to see, the neoclassical art, the unbelievable architecture. I can't remember what there was a famous saying, I think it was Ralph Waldo Emerson, like talked about, you know, St. Peter's being the sublime of the sublime. It's fantastic. I'm jealous. I hope you enjoy your time there and come back with some positive stuff for the healthcare system.
No, I will. I know I've already have. And I know I wasn't asked to go on this for any other reason than I'm supposed to be here to learn this. And I'm grateful and honored to be here. And then to come off the golf courses of Augusta, all that majesty there of our United States capitalism, and then to come over here and see all this history and where our faith began has been quite a 2 weeks, I got to tell you.
Yeah. Did you get a chance? Did you watch any of it yesterday, or was it available to you?
Oh, yeah, I was watching on my phone till 1:30 in the morning this morning. You know, it was a 7-hour difference, so they didn't put his coat on until 1:30 in the morning here, and I watched every minute of it, laying in bed. And Scotty Scheffler is a class act. There's an example of smart, conservative golf, steady Eddie right down the middle. Don't do anything flashy, just play smart. And then the young guns that were trying to keep up with them or catch them on that back nine, they were penalized for their aggressiveness, and that course ate them up.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm glad you got a chance to watch it, and I'm glad you kind of finally connected with us. I appreciate it. Hope it doesn't cost you too much. We'll see you in a week.
Yep, see you next Monday.
All right, Kev, we appreciate it.
I'll be calling you from Florida.
Okay, because you're just like the international man now. I remember we had a guide. He had the little earpiece in, and we were in the Vatican, because it's so overwhelming, the just sheer amount of stuff.
Sure.
I mean, you go to St. Peter's, and it's like sensory overload. The art, I mean, everything, you know, it's gigantic. And you know, the tapestries and the, I mean, just over and over and over. And a lot of Rome is that way. And it's pretty amazing when you're just standing there and she's going blah, 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 blah. And you look over here and you go, whoa, what's that? That was the Pope that didn't decompose or whatever. It was like,
wow, that's weird.
I mean, the tapestry's great, don't get me wrong, but can you tell me a little bit about this?
That's strange.
It's beyond strange. Like, anyway, St. Peter's Basilica is something that everyone should. You go into this, it's literally its own country, and guarded by the Swiss. Wearing uniforms designed by Michelangelo. Swords. They got guns, too, but they just don't, like, really show those.
Right.
And it is, I don't even know how to put it into words. Rome is a gigantic, I mean, Rome is a city, you know, with buses and scooters and cars and traffic. But it's, you know, the stuff that's in it, you know, is unbelievable. But you go to Assisi and you think about during World War II, like Nazis occupied that place and there was a whole network set up to save Jews. And it's like up on this mountain. And you go down to where he's sort of entombed, and it is like the heaviest thing. Italy is just an experience that's unlike any other.
It's so old.
Oh, everything.
Yeah.
Michelangelo is David. It is the one art thing in my life that goes so far beyond living up to the expectations that you have.
Because of the scale?
I don't know what it is. It's the scale. It's
and the perspective that you get
everything.
From
everything. It's just you think about, like, what people did with their hands and, you know, a few, like, archaic tools, right?
Yeah.
To be able to do that. Sistine Chapel, not as much. Leaning Tower, Pisa, nowhere near.
Do you have your photo on your of you holding up the tower? You had to.
Lindsay did that. I didn't. Yeah, I think there's a photo of it. It's just so stupid.
I'd do it.
Would you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, but I would, because I'm not going to get a chance. I might as well at least go do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because in the last 20 minutes, we've talked about like ancient civilization and then 3D printed golf clubs, which I did get to the bottom of. They are printing them in metal layer by layer. They're not, it has nothing to do with forging or casting really? Or anything.
So they're literally 3D printing metal.
And the problem is because of the precision, it's not precise enough. The grooves are problematic. So they have to go in and kind of file them or get them into regulation.
Go back and redo it. Yeah.
But they're not the first either. Cobra had some and several. They anticipate at least 10% by 2025 of the clubs will be 3D printed. And the main reason is because a guy like DeChambeau with money can go to them and prototype something in a day.
Yeah.
Go try it out, read the data, go make a correction, have a new one this week. I mean, it's going to turn around. It'll probably change the sport at the highest level by that little amount.
Didn't change his weekend.
No, sure didn't. It was neat. Thanks for bringing it to my attention.
No, I just thought it was interesting because I'd never heard of 3D printing metal before.
Oh, I have of metal, but fine like that. I didn't think of it like that. It's pretty cool.
Anyway, Rome is unbelievable. Italy is one of my favorite places in all the world. Rome is not my favorite part of Italy, but it is definitely worth, you know, seeing. I mean, there's so many great things.
And that's the interesting thing you also put in there that I always, whenever you in particular talk about going to that area of the world, how modern Rome and ancient Rome coexist at the same time that the history's there and the Vespa goes by and you know, you look at the cobblestones and then you have the modern roadways like right on the other side. And it's like, wow, you know, in the United States, the way that we constructed things and the fact that we're not, you know, so ancient, most of the stuff won't be around.
No.
It's not built to be 500 years
old. Right. When you see the Colosseum, you think of the Colosseum. You don't think about the roundabout and the cars and the buses and all the modern day stuff that just coexist. But it's cool. There's some amazing things. Rome is definitely worth, you know, going to see certain things. My favorite is Florence, you know, and I love Venice if you get Venice with nice weather. And that's the caveat.
And unfortunately, man, water is probably going to be the end of that place, isn't it?
Eventually. Been in the water forever.
It's rising, though.
But it's been rising for 1,000 years, too. They have a whole different perspective. We think in, like, years.
Yeah, they're thinking in centuries.
Yeah. It's a whole different thing. It's just something. It's not good or bad. It's just something. It's hard for us to comprehend.
Yeah.
We're a few hundred years old.
Right.
Yeah, the land isn't, but we as a country.
Mm-hmm.
And so pretty amazing stuff. All right. When we get back here, because we're desperately late for a break, we have to get to a lot of different things, including this statue of Allen Iverson that was unveiled over the weekend. Do you remember the Little Penny Hardaway ads?
Yeah, Little Penny.
Yeah.
Of course I do.
Now we got Little Allen.
He was kind of
late. And they put it in front of the practice facility.
So bogus.
This is great.
I didn't know it was in front
of so many levels. This is so good. But the looks on everyone's faces trying to get a picture of this tiny, tiny Iverson. I just wonder, like, how this gets planned, you know, like, in a meeting without any irony at all. I mean, like, how does, you know, this is a professional sports organization.
The easy fix for that. We're going to come back to it.
I'm just, like, sitting around in a room. A professional, I mean, this is an American sports team, professional sports team.
Yep.
They have marketing people, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm just checking. We'll give you the details on the other side of the marquee break. Back with more right after this.
Isn't it time you start having regular checkups? A primary care physician from Memorial Care can help detect illness early and help you plan for future wellness. Physicians in the Decatur area are accepting new patients. Visit memorial.health today. A primary care physician from Memorial Care can help you better manage your medications. Having one provider who knows your health can help ensure your meds are working together. Physicians in Decatur are accepting new patients. Visit memorial.health today.
Illini fans, this year we celebrate the 100th anniversary of Memorial Stadium for the 2024 Fighting Illini football season. Join us in Memorial Stadium as we honor 100 years of tradition and continue to create memories for the future. Season tickets for the 2024 football season are on sale now. Secure your season tickets for homecoming, Dad's Day, and a special rededication of Memorial Stadium on October 19th. Experience more cherished moments in Memorial Stadium this season and lock in your tickets today at fightingillini.com.
One in four Americans have a disability. I'm one of them. I'm also a working mom who cares deeply about making sure every child with a disability thrives by getting their access needs met. We've got a trusted ally by our side. Easter Seals provides children and families the foundation for lifelong success through early learning programs, skills training, and prep for college and career. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours. Join us at EasterSeals.com.
The Macon County Fair, Refreshment Services, Pepsi, and Rural King proudly brings you Southern Rock legends, the Marshall Tucker Band, on Thursday, June 7th. Kansas City, what that woman been doing to me. Hurting your love. Tickets on sale now at MaconCountyFair.com. The Marshall Tucker Band live at the Macon County Fairgrounds, Thursday, June 7th in Decatur.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
You could literally put everything I know about the NBA probably on a side plate. Post-Jordan, you know, probably, you know, in the heyday.
So you're talking about 1998.
Probably. What did Allen Iverson play? The original AI.
Yeah, right around then.
He came in, though, at the tail end of that, right? Mm-hmm. Undersized guard with a big heart.
Yep.
Right?
Came out of Georgetown as a freshman. First one to leave early.
NBA changed their dress code because of Allen Iverson, if I recall correctly.
That's right.
Okay. So they unveiled this statue. Statues are a tricky thing. They can be done very well and sometimes not, you know. They can be like really the statue of Stan Musial in front of Busch Stadium is awesome.
Yeah.
And then you go over and see some of the smaller ones and the details there.
Yeah, Rogers Hornsby. I was just walking around those little statues the other day. A
couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Like Lou Brock, whoever it might be, all the legends. Now, Philadelphia, I think of first and foremost, Dr. J, Charles Barkley. I'm trying to think, are there bigger names than Allen Iverson?
Those are the three.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Who else would it be?
Wilt
Chamberlain.
Wilt played there.
Okay. So they unveil this tiny little statue, and it is tiny. I'm sure it was expensive.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But tiny. And you think, okay, if you're going to do a statue of someone, do you not think of, like, bigger than that?
Yeah, people are calling it a trophy. context is important in this. I didn't have the context, so I had the same reaction as everybody else.
What's the context?
All their statues are this size.
Oh, they are?
They all are. That's
why? Because they're just doing it on the cheap. And it's, no one's awed by something this size.
No, but when they're all together, it's far more impressive. But nonetheless, it's dinky.
This looks like, I mean, in all honesty, I'm sure artistically it sits together nicely, but it looks like it. How do we do this on the cheap?
Yeah, probably so.
If you open, here's the front gates of Busch Stadium, and here's Stan Musial, all 17 inches of him.
Oh, yeah. There's Moses Malone, too. I forgot about Moses. But they have like a, I'm looking at him. It makes sense in context, but him standing next to it, I thought it was a prototype or one of those ones you'd put in the concourse at the arena, like Scottie Pippen's bust or whatever, Johnny Red Kerr.
Yeah.
This would not, you couldn't build like an entryway around this Allen Iverson statue. You'd need like six more. You really couldn't. It's like a potted plant.
I don't know why it's worth it, to be honest with you. I mean, they got everybody there. There's photographers, the press. There's hundreds of people. There's Allen Iverson. Clearly, the sculptor can't do braids. There's so many things wrong with
it. It's not the best likeness, that's for sure. I like the detail. I like the style. And like I said, it does fit with their motif that they have going on.
Doing it on the cheap. That would be the theme.
Yeah.
And I like the crossover dribble, but they put it in front of the practice facility.
Yeah.
And that is funny.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if when they get to the next stadium or whatever that the owner takes an opportunity to correct all this.
Why would you say that?
Yeah, I don't know, actually.
I love the fact that you're optimistic about giving people the benefit of the doubt. They just tripled down, quadrupled down. They put a bunch of tiny statues. They put another tiny statue, and they put it in front of the practice facility. But they get new ones. The owners are going to reconsider and spend more money. I don't think so.
Yeah, probably not. Do you remember the scene in Zoolander where they showed him the little model of his school? He said, what is this, a school for ants?
Yeah. That's exactly what it's
like. Somebody said, what is this, a statue for ants?
Yeah.
It's just real good.
It is so funny. So they had like an entire ceremony. They had the whole, you know, thing, and then they pulled the tarp off this thing.
Towel.
The beach towel. Not even beach towel. The hand cloth off this thing, and they put it in front of the practice facility. Now, either someone's got a great sense of humor, which I'm assuming, you know, would be the case all these years later. We can all laugh about this because this stuff's still being mocked, you know, like in Ted Lasso today about practice.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
right?
Yeah. Practice. Talking about practice.
22 times.
Is that how many times you said it?
I had to use the word practice, yes.
I know the interview very well. I didn't know it was 22.
Yeah. So 22 years later, too, by the way, just to give you some perspective. There's unveilings and there's unveilings. Everything I just told you about Rome, absolutely true. This is the most underwhelming thing I've ever seen.
He is physically taller than the whole base and statue combined.
Yeah.
And Allen Iverson's like 6'1".
This is like a little penny all over again in front of the practice facility, which is just great.
Practice.
And then you think about as they're, you know, sitting around a table going, what do we do here? Let's put him in front of the practice with
of all the people.
Well, you know that's intentional.
Yeah. Well, they're all there. They're all there. But it's extra funny that he's there, too, because he didn't want to be there. He didn't want to talk about it.
Just very underwhelming. This is one of those things where you go, why even do it?
Somebody, you know, he went to Chicago to play. He was at the United Center, and he definitely saw, and later in his career, that statue of Michael Jordan that's like got its own like almost roundabout at the time. And he's like, now you go over there. It could be like a new lounger.
There's like a direct equivalent to like accomplishment. It's like, okay, this is what a Michael Jordan statue looks like.
Right.
This is what an Allen Iverson statue looks like.
And the messed up part is the Krause was behind that. Reinsdorf, you know, Reinsdorf was behind that. Yeah,
as bad as they were, they at least knew what they owed the community, meaning what Michael Jackson or Michael Jordan earned them, you know, with the community.
And then Scotty gets the waist up.
That's a very fair, that to me.
It's about accurate.
And the more time passes, the more accurate that is.
Yeah. He'll end up with a little practice statue.
Yeah.
Move him out to the Birdo Center.
Because he just shrinks and shrinks and shrinks as time goes by.
That's right. That'd be funny if they had if they took it down every year and just shrunk it
just
a little
cut
bit.
Off a few more inches down at the bottom.
come in like 8 years and it's handheld.
Oh, my. All right. One other basketball news. This portal thing so out of hand. I saw yesterday that the son of the Iowa men's coach, basketball coach, college basketball coach, his own son is hitting the portal from leaving Iowa.
Probably wants that PT. I'm not going to play here. I'm going to go somewhere else.
Like your own kid hitting the portal.
His dad's probably like, whew.
Yeah.
Don't have to bench him anymore.
Yeah, look,
you can do it,
this
son.
This is causing a lot of friction at home.
Yeah.
Enjoy your time at Baylor or wherever.
I do believe in you. Yeah. Well, I want you to play me.
Exactly. There are downsides to that whole
downsides,
thing.
There's downsides, yeah.
Okay. When we get back on the other side of the break, we've got literally the mayor will be with us coming up in just about 10 minutes. We'll get to tonight's council meeting agenda. But I saw the greatest story about Jackson Holliday over the weekend. We talked about this last week. This is the son of Matt Holliday.
Plays for the Orioles.
Just got called up to play for the big league Baltimore Orioles. And he's wearing a number that has not been worn in Baltimore for decades and decades and decades. And it had the personal blessing of a family that is as close to royalty in sports, particularly with Baltimore. And it involved a really cool phone call. Okay. Give you all the details on the other side of the break. Here's Nick Smith with your three-day forecast. Back with more right after this.
Today's going to be sunny with a high of 82. Tonight, chance of rain and thunderstorms overnight, increasing clouds and a low of 61. For Tuesday, a chance of more rain and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and windy. High near 80, and Wednesday, scattered showers and thunderstorms, mostly sunny and a high near 72. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 56 degrees. Your WSOY time is 6:54. This look at your weather brought to you by Staley Credit Union. Ready to bank better? Bank Staley Credit Union.
Buying your first house? We've got a loan for you. Kitchen renovations? We've got a loan for you. How about that boat just in time for warm weather? We've got a loan for you, too. Staley Credit Union has you covered with the loans that fit your lifestyle. Because we're more than your lender. We're your partner. Let's talk possibilities. Learn more at staleycu.com. This institution is not federally insured by Member Choice. Proudly insured by American Share Insurance.
The 2024 St. Teresa High School Mega Raffle is going on now. The fundraiser helps St. Teresa offer a faith-based education to students in our area. Tickets are now on sale, and you can have a chance to win $100,000. Take advantage of special bundles by purchasing multiple tickets, increasing your odds of winning. The final drawing is May 24th. Buy your tickets today for a chance to win $100,000 by calling 875-7950 or online at stmega.com.
At Brinkotter Realtors, we're not just here to facilitate transactions. We're here to build lasting relationships. We believe that the heart of every successful real estate journey lies in the connections we make and the partnerships we create. Loyalty isn't handed out, it's earned. That's why we're dedicated to earning your trust every step of the way. Discover the difference at Brinkotter Realtors, building bonds beyond your home. Visit us online or call to connect with one of our agents today.
Find your way home. Brinkotter.com.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
So if you're old enough to remember, I would say Cal Ripken Jr., you're probably not old enough to remember Cal Ripken Sr., who was the father of not only Cal, but Billy Ripken, who all played for the Baltimore Orioles. And Cal's number, Cal Sr., was number 7. And his son Billy last wore that number for the Baltimore Orioles in 1988. That's the last time number 7 was used in the organization. And it was basically unofficially retired in the 90s when Cal Sr. passed away. Number 7 has been Matt Holliday's number for a very long time. Not a very long time. He's not old enough to have anything for a very long time, but in his lifetime, a very long time.
Right.
And he was going to switch numbers when called up to the team just because it was unofficially retired. And the team thought, well, maybe this would be a good idea. They called Cal Ripken Jr., who's baseball royalty. And then they told Matt Holliday the family's fine with this. And he didn't really believe, you know, he didn't know that, and evidently called was given Cal Ripken Jr.'s phone number, who he called, and they said they'd be honored, the family would be honored if this young kid would wear number 7 in honor of their dad and this great historic figure in the Baltimore Oriole history. So he's up. He's now there and wearing number 7 for the first time in that organization since 1988.
That's awesome. That's a very cool story.
With the blessing of the Ripken family.
Wow. That's great. I like that story. I have a famous baseball card of Billy Ripken in that number, that jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of people probably know what I'm talking about. And I think that's a lot of fun. I love that. You can't get any more royal in terms of a team lineage than Ripken's in Baltimore.
No.
Can't.
And the unbelievable history, not only to have the father, but the sons. And then, of course, Cal, you know, on that record, just unbelievable, right?
Awesome.
Yeah. Good stuff. Story. Rooting for that kid. All right. We'll take a break for top of the hour news. The mayor's up with us next. Stay tuned.
No matter where you are, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is RJ Crace with your stories now, brought to you by Jesse Heating and Air. Great products and great people, treating you the way you want to be treated since 1979. 3 Macon County 4-H members have received recognition for their career achievements in the organization. Elizabeth Cornett, a member of the 4-H Scream Robotics Club, has won the Emerald Clover Award in the area of project learning. Marola Livestock 4-H Club member Morgan Crouch has received the Diamond Clover Award in leadership. And Marola Livestock member Taylor Crouch won the State Animal Science 4-H Award. Taylor Crouch was one of 5 4-H members selected for that award, which includes a $1,000 scholarship. A measure in Springfield would require notice ahead of automatic renewals offered by businesses. Businesses that offer a free trial or a promotional period that automatically renew would have to notify customers by email at least 3 days before the cancellation deadline. This would apply to free gift or trial.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.